in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And I just want to let you know, people listening, this will be a much shorter one. You probably already clicked on it. It's like, what the hell? Where's the, hour and a half long or more epic?
I was going to say we were almost 2 hours last time.
Yeah, James basically just talking a bunch and then Mike interjecting and going off on a tangent and talking a bunch. This will be considerably shorter, mainly because we are dealing with the limitations of technology in the face of Mother Nature.
Dude, right? Right? Well said.
Is that
said.
A good way to explain it?
Yes, well said.
And here's what I'm talking about. We normally we try to get together on Sunday mornings. Again, we had our little break, but we're back to it. And we tried to get together this Sunday morning because it's Sunday evening now. It's actually Sunday night.
Yes.
Evening feels like a specific time, like between like 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. That feels like evening, and anything beyond 8 is night. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, I would consider that. I would consider that night, like past 8.
If somebody says, I'm going to come over this evening, I would be like, okay, I'm expecting you between about 5 and 8 o'clock. Right. Yep. Now I'm attempting to make dinner or relax after eating dinner. And so, whatever. Okay, fine. Do you want to have dinner with us or whatever? Because we're making chicken cordon bleu. Yes, we do. Great. I have to make more chicken cordon bleu. That's fucking amazing. Anyway, we tried to do this in the morning. We got up, we did our morning things, had our breakfast, got our coffee. In fact, I sent pictures of my coffee over to Mike to show that I was coffeed and ready to go as well. I'm sure he recognized the coffee mug as the one that I used to use when I would come over his house. Yes, if I fall in love with something, I use the same damn thing every single freaking day. So that is my coffee mug, and I have been using it for about 4 years now, every single day for my morning cup of coffee. Why? Because it makes me happy. Also, it's Star Wars, so whatever.
Yeah.
We get this set up. We're trying to do this, and then this beautiful technology, this wonderful technology that many people are going to employ in this holiday season, already have employed through Thanksgiving, the ability to connect with your family, to see your family in connections. Like right before Thanksgiving, we had a birthday in the household, my oldest son's birthday, and I was able to use one of the various programs that help you face-to-face talk with somebody on a phone. I used one of those to contact my dad so that he could wish his grandson a happy birthday. It's the first time that I've actually seen my dad's face in like 2.5, almost 3 years now, because he's had to be elsewhere taking care of personal business. So it was, we just haven't had the time to actually be in the same physical place. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to be able to see him. Obviously he looks older, obviously I look older, but it was, it was a nice thing to be able to do. And many people are going to be doing this. Technology is wonderful, except when Mother Nature doesn't agree with the technology being wonderful. Now we know that I know, and I'm sure you're dreading the day this happens. We, at any point in time, the sun might decide to say, hey, Earth, screw all of you. I'm going to give out a big giant fart. And now an astrophysicist would probably laugh and say, yeah, that's a solar flare, and I guess it's hot compressed gas, so fart is an appropriate
sun fart. Yeah, way. Sun fart. Yeah.
It's like, hi, I'm the sun. I am farting now. And all your technology no longer works. Because, by the way, that's what will happen if there's a massive solar flare. Basically, anything that is run on Wi-Fi, anything that is run by satellites, basically anything run by electricity, has the potential to just stop working immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we have no warning because it's going to happen. It'll happen at the sun, and within 8 minutes, it's going to hit us. And we're not going to know it's going to hit us until it hits us. And then it'll be like, oh, hey, everything shut off. Oh, crap, we need to call somebody. Yeah. Can't.
Nope.
Nothing's going to work. Not a single thing's going to work. Well, it wasn't that drastic this morning, obviously, because none of you had experienced that. No, everybody was able to still, get on their phones and check their Facebook or whatever social media sites that you love doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're richer than us, you got to check your stocks or whatever. If you're poorer than us, then I don't know what you were doing online. probably dreaming about things that you want to buy, just like us. So anyway,
I was going to say,
just like us. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're doing. And
that's what I was doing.
Yeah,
I was
looking, everybody was on our level, man.
I was looking at football at 49er jerseys this morning. So, anyway, nice. Gotta get me a George Kittle jersey for anybody who knows. George Kittle is the man. If you're ever gonna, hey, I know you're like the sometime 49er fan, which means that you don't flip flop back and forth between teams. You just don't follow very heavily.
Right.
Just if you're ever having to engage with a 49er fan, just say, George Kittle's awesome, isn't he? And immediately they'll finish the rest of the conversation, but they'll think you're amazing. Because he is the most favorite player on the 49ers of everybody right now. Even people that don't like the 49ers like freaking George Kittle because he's amazing.
Damn. Okay.
I'll fill you in more later. But anyway,
I was going to say, I've got no context. I have no clue who that guy is.
He's a badass on the field, and then like he's a really, really dude beside that.
Oh, cool.
Like a really cool dude.
Nice. Okay.
But anyway, so we were getting ready to do this, and we had a little technology snafu, and the snafu was about the weather, right?
It was probably having to do with the fact there was a large storm coming in, and there was heavy wind as well. Probably the wind more than anything. The rain probably helped too, but essentially one of us had some connection problems, and we were not able to hear each other on time. So
it was me, which is not surprising. If anybody's going to have the technology issues, I'm going to be the one having the damn technology issues. it was hilariously funny how delayed our conversation was. I would say something, and then I would have to wait for at least 15 seconds for Mike to hear what I have said and then respond back to me. And then he would respond, I would say something, and he'd have to sit around and wait 15, 20 seconds to hear me to be able to respond.
And I'd hear you and respond immediately.
And his responses were coming through at a great, his responses were coming through fast. Mine were just really freaking slow. And he was like, I do not know that, one, the editing that he would have to have done, the added amount of time that a podcast like that would have had, because I would have been adding, every time I say anything, I would add like 10, 15 seconds. I talk enough. Y'all have to listen to me long enough. You don't need all those pauses in between. You'd be like, what is he doing? Just sitting there like, I'm going to take some time before I formulate what I'm going to say. Hold on.
Okay.
That's the next thing I'm going to say. And it's like, it was a level of insanity. And then there was a point where we were just like, screw this. We can't even talk about the things that we normally have our chat session about, what's been going on in our lives and the things we need to deal with. And we're like each other's, I don't know, mini pseudo therapist. Is that a good way to describe it?
I guess, we kind of help each other through shit all the time, don't we?
Which is a healthy thing. I mean, this is definitely, we've talked before about the mental health of men should be able to talk about the things, women too, by the way, don't want to discount the necessity for women to have to talk with friends and be able to air all the things. But historically, men have not been, it's not been considered a manly thing to talk about your feelings, talk about what's going on, deal with your mental health, possible things that you have to work with. And We're big components about, you need to talk about these things. And if you can find a friend that you can open up with these things, I mean, really, truly open up, not like half-assed man style open up, but like really open up and talk about your things and have them listen to you and understand, that's helpful. And so that's part of how we do this, is we have our little mini therapy session. We talk about the things that are going on with us, things that are bothering us, where our headspace is at. Sometimes that dictates where we go with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't even get that accomplished. So I called him on the phone, and it's funny, at one moment I'm listening to him, talking to him on the phone, and I have the headphones on, and I'm right by my microphone, and I can hear my own voice and the amount of delay that's happening, his voice and the amount of delay. And it's like, this is crazy. We really can't do this. So we find ourselves late at night trying to at least fit a short podcast in. And I've, of course, spent 10 minutes explaining all of that in our short podcast. But that's okay. That's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's filling time. That's fine.
It is filling a little bit of the time, and it's talking things that this is the technology issues that the technology is beautiful. It's wonderful, but we need to make sure that we don't rely on it to the exclusion of the other ways of doing things. That technology is not just the only answer. And so, because right. sometimes it's not going to be the answer for things. Sometimes it's not going to help you out. And so we need to be able to rely on more than that. So that can go all the way into, you know, people learn how to actually read maps, because sometimes at some point or another, your Google Maps won't work. You might not be able to bring up Google Maps. And then what are you going to do? How are you going to find the place? Learn how to read maps. Learn your cardinal directions, people. Seriously. And if you don't know what I mean by cardinal directions, stop driving. Don't, like, not on the freeway, not if you're listening to us while you're driving. Don't stop then. Get to your destination safely. But don't drive any other places until you at least learn where your cardinal directions are in relative to your home, your hometown, the places you mainly go, like your stores you shop at, your work, things like that. You should know if your work is, if the place that you work is north of your house or south of your house, east, west, you should know this. I don't want to know, you don't need to know the exact distance in miles and whatnot, but, and you don't need to have it like north by northwest. Just, is it north? Is it south, east, west? At least understand what those directions are. Be able to stand in the middle of your house where you can't see out of windows, or, you know, somewhere, your bathroom where there's no windows out, and be able to face north, face south, east, west. There's only four of them. So if you get one right, you'll get the rest of them right.
Yep.
And just be able to do that from inside your house, so you know roughly where things are in the world. Because again, you may not always have the technology to tell you. And that's, it's just, I only say that because it is a dying art. Our generation, maybe the last generation that knows cardinal directions, that maybe knows how to read a map or ever did read a map. And I'm talking not just, again, an online map that gives you, draws out the direction for you. I'm talking a paper frickin' map or a map in a book where you have to open it up and look at the streets and figure out your destination, figure out how to get there, all that kind of stuff. We may be the last generation to have done any of that. And it's still, some of those skills are still helpful and useful to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. To a degree, of course. I mean, and to kind of preface this, I don't know if you're well, not necessarily preface it, but to supplement it. I see a lot of people when they talk about what they know how to do, especially older people talking about how they know what to do or how to do certain things that are just the most obsolete thing. Honestly, this is not one of those things.
No.
This is your phone dies on you. This isn't like an EMP goes off and all of a sudden no maps anywhere. This is, you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, your phone dies on you, and you happen to have a paper map in the glove compartment. If you don't have a paper map of the area you're going to be in, or that you are in your glove compartment, get one. That's a very good idea. And learn how to read it.
Even if you don't have a paper map of the area, if you know your cardinal directions and you've looked at your map on your phone, and let's say your phone dies, you may know, okay, I've gone off on this little, you know, trip, this little fun thing, go out to this secluded area, my phone dies. I know in this area that I'm at, maybe I went hiking or something to have some fun. Maybe I had to find a place to bury a body. I don't know. Whatever the reasoning is, you should at least know that, okay, this place I know is north of such and such city where I can get help if I need to, and my phone's dead, so I can't call anybody. My car's not working. Okay, I'm screwed. How do I get back? Okay, I know that I'm north of this area, so I know that north is, you know, this way. You know, let's say you're able to point yourself north. Okay, so I know that north is this way, and I'm north of this place, so I need to go south because that would take me back to the place that I'm north of. Right?
I mean, essentially.
These are some of those things that, like,
yeah.
it's like the idea that do you need to know how to change a tire? It's good to know how to do it. Do you need to experience it as many times as I did as a kid, where I'd rotate the tires on my dad's truck once every couple of months. And so I probably
good
did
Lord.
It at least 20 different times.
Wait, you did it yourself? Cause yes. He knew what to, I'm assuming this is because he knew what to do when he was doing it, and you learned because he taught you.
He taught me how to take the tires off and his way of teaching me how to take off tires and put tires on. He just figured he'd have me rotate the tires on his truck regularly, and he wouldn't have to take it to a shop to have it done, and then I would learn how to take a tire off and put a tire on. And by the way, he didn't have air impact tools, which, if you, again, people listening don't know what those are. When you go somewhere and they change your tires and they're using those guns that make a lot of weird noises that have hoses attached to them, those are air impact tools. They're using compressed air to make them do the work.
Right.
No, I was using
the standard jack that was found in the trunk, like the screw jack.
No. I wasn't using that. My dad at least made sure I was safe, and he had a big floor jack, one of the big, like.
Oh, okay. So he had a floor jack at least. Yeah, I got a question. Did he have two?
Two of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, aside from that, like, cause that's the only question I would have is, how the hell would you rotate your tires without two jacks?
I don't think he was having rotation on them, or an appropriate one. I think he was just having me move front to back. Mm. I don't know if they having me move, you know, all the way to the other
side.
Yeah,
but you have to take off the other tire to do it. Two tires have to come off in order for them to be rotated.
You do. Yes.
So yes, you can't set the car down on the axle and then jack it up on the back end or something.
No, but you have jack stands.
Yes, that would do it, wouldn't it?
You can use jack stands.
Yep, there you go.
He may have only had one jack, and I put it up on jack stands. But he'd have me do this, and it was, and I was just using like a star wrench.
Again, letting you know right now, in no uncertain terms, I've never rotated tires before, so I wouldn't know to do that.
But you know how to take tires off.
I do know how to remove a tire. Yes.
Yeah, and you know how to put one back on.
I know how to. Yes, I have. I have changed a flat. Before I have done that a couple of times when I have had to do so,
and that's what he was trying to teach me, was how to do that and be how to be able to do it completely on my own. Before this is before I had a license, I was 14 and 15 doing this.
Damn,
because he wanted me to at least be able to do that.
I mean, that's really decent.
If I could do nothing else, I could at least do that. Now here's the thing: I'm 41 years old. If I get a flat tire, do I try to change my tire?
I mean,
no.
It depends on whether or not you feel enough to do it, but I probably wouldn't.
The answer is no. I do not ever change my tire anymore. Do you know why?
Because you have AAA?
Well, not specifically AAA, but I pay for roadside assistance, and those guys can change my tire, and I'm just going to sit and wait. I know how to do it, so if I can't have to do it in an emergency,
right?
I can. But I pay for somebody else to do it at this point in my life, so they can do it until I have do it. It's not a skill I'm gonna lose. It's just gonna take me a little bit, not as fast as I used to be.
Right. That just makes sense. Well, again, that makes sense.
It's still a good skill to know how to do.
Yeah.
Knowing how to disconnect a battery, remove a battery, and put a new battery in. Guess what, people? Your car needs the battery changed. And sometimes you're not able to go and get it changed out of place. Sometimes you have to do it yourself. These are good things to learn. So there are some things that are still appropriate to learn. Some things you want to know that, you know, you how to do if technology lets you down. You know how to cook a meal for yourself if your microwave isn't going to work, mm-hmm. or your Steve isn't working, or your Carl isn't working. if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to more podcasts and you'll understand who Steve and Carl are.
Yes.
But if these things aren't working, you still need to know how to make a meal for yourself. Also, conversely, know how to make a meal for yourself. If your stove isn't working, the only thing that is working is your microwave. No other ways of handling things. But don't rely too heavily on the technology, because again, you never know when it might betray you. It's a very good tool, but tools are only helpful when they're helpful. Does that make sense? Maybe it does.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have a question. Anyway, I was going to say, is there a particular subject matter to this podcast today, or I wasn't sure.
Well, actually, that's funny enough. I didn't intend for me to have this conversation leading into what part of what we were going to talk about today. And I expected to talk a little bit longer about it, but I almost want to make it a short conversation.
Oh, okay.
We talk often about the new things that are coming out, movies, TV shows, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's some big new movies coming out here in December. And there's a couple of big TV shows. And I want to hit on them a little bit. And then at a, maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more in depth about them. But I want to acknowledge them right now because I want people to be prepared for them. One of them's already come out. And I don't know if we mentioned it yet, but we got a few minutes here before we take our break. So I will mention the four major things that are upcoming, three upcoming and actually four upcoming. And so there's five things, four upcoming and one that's already come out. I'll mention their names. And then the second half we'll touch on them each one just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one has already come out. It is being streamed through, I believe Amazon is the one streaming this one.
Okay.
And it's a fantasy series called The Wheel of Time. Have you seen anything for this?
No.
Okay. For anybody that has, it's a fantasy series called The Wheel of Time. It's based on a series of books by author Robert Jordan. And I think I mentioned it. We may have mentioned it before on the podcast here, but it's there's what, 14 books. Let me look on my shelf. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't know, but I have all of them.
I do actually. Oh. I do have all of them. 11 of them were written by Robert Jordan, the creator of the series. And then he died. And before he did, he was able to give all his notes for what he thought would be the last book and ended up being three more books because that's the way this guy wrote. He originally intended it only to be three books, the entire series. And even the company who Tor Books, who signed the contract with him, were like, you're not going to do three books. We're going to sign you for at least six. And he was like, but it's only going to be three. Uh-huh. Sure. Okay, Robert. Whatever you said. Which is not his real name. It's his pen name. I forget his real name. But he had done some Conan books before that for Tor. So he's very familiar with the fantasy genre. His own creation of fantasy world, his own kind of version of magic, if you will. It's not called that in the series, but it's basically the same as almost any other thing that uses a magic of some kind. It has been adapted. The first book has been adapted for this first season of the show on Amazon. And I know that there has been a huge amount of backlash from it. We'll talk about that second half. Okay. Be the first thing we discuss. And then we have the four other things that are upcoming, three movies and another series. And we'll start with the movies. Next week, the new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, that's
where
right.
It looks mm-hmm. like, where it looks like at this point, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange are going to screw everything up.
Yeah. That's what it looks They're like breaking, to me.
They're breaking the entire universe, which is expected because the new Doctor Strange movie is called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And then the Loki TV series had Loki and another Loki destroy the multiverse. Sorry, spoilers. And they destroyed the sacred timeline and basically unleashed the entire multiverse. That's what they actually did. So that got all wonky woo. Gosh, I'm even forgetting the Hawkeye series. We'll talk about that another time. Anyway, and as anybody who's seen any of the trailers for the, they are bringing back villains from the other Spider-Mans, from all of the other Spider-Mans. So Doc Ock is in there, and it's Alfred Molina. The Green Goblin with Willem Dafoe is in there. Possibly James Franco as the other Goblin may show up.
That would be nuts.
It looks like it's possible. Thomas Hayden Church is there.
I did see
from Sandman.
I did see Sandman. Jamie Foxx is in as Electro, but he's different.
Yeah, he looks different, but he is Electro.
Okay.
So Jamie Foxx is there. Mm-hmm. Also there is what's his name? I believe they have the Lizard Man. I don't know if it's Reese Iffens playing the Lizard Man or not.
Oh man.
James's phone went off. He's in trouble. He owes Mike a donut.
Damn it, James. That's okay. I get a donut. I like donuts.
Donuts are good. Mm-hmm. We'll get you the Van Wilder cream filled kind. Anyway,
No. I believe I have a choice upon my flavor of donut, and it is not that one.
I agree with you. It's never that one. There's of course been the rumors that the other two Spider-Mans might show up.
We pretty much know it's going to happen at this point. Why would they bring all of the villains from the other? Why would they bring so many villains, major villains from those series, and not bring them in?
Here's the thing.
To some degree.
Here's the thing. Every one of those villains died fighting Spider-Man.
They all died?
No, Sandman didn't. They say in the trailer that all of them died fighting Spider-Man, and that's where they came, but Sandman didn't. And the end credit scene for the Venom Carnage movie confirms that Venom is brought into whatever event happens that makes all of this happen in Spider-Man No Way Home. Venom is brought there too. The Tom Hardy Venom is brought there.
Yeah.
Not the the stupid Venom.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, not the Topher Grace Venom.
Like an Eric Foreman.
Yes, no Eric Foreman Venom. That we don't need that. But the Tom Hardy Venom is apparently brought there, which opens up a whole new set of fun. Venom being one of my favorite comic book characters. I love Venom. I think he's a better villain than even what most people think is the greatest Joker. I prefer Venom over Joker, personally. My list.
For them to remove so much of an influence of Spider-Man, because the Venom series takes place in San Francisco, doesn't it? Like, it actually takes place in San Fran rather than...
It does, but they're not... The mistake that the third Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie made when they produced Venom is there's so much more to the story of Venom. And so you can't do the original introduction of Venom anyway.
Right.
Because the original introduction of Venom, you first need to go, Peter Parker first needs to go to the Secret Wars. That's on a different planet. He needs to do that so that he gets the black suit. So, and then come back with the black suit and then all the things dealing with the black suit, and then have the Fantastic Four help him originally get out of the black suit. But then that doesn't work.
Wait a minute. Well, if you're talking about something like that major, but Venom as Flash Thompson in like subsequent series since they did like a reboot of the Marvel series? Like, the Secret Wars didn't have to necessarily happen, and then Venom's introduced as an alien symbiote that comes on a spaceship with Flash Thompson, right?
That was the way that it happened in the animated series. So, I mean, that's one way that it...
You can do that. Harley Quinn was brought in from an animated series, and now she's one of the biggest characters in DC.
Yeah, she didn't even exist until the animated series. Yeah. There's no such thing as Harley Quinn. For those of you who don't know that, stop cosplaying as Harley Quinn unless you know her history. Just stop. Don't cosplay as the character unless you know the history. But yeah, there's other ways that it's been brought in. I can see why they're doing it this way, so they don't have to deal with those other things. But anyway, that'll be interesting. The week after Spider-Man Far From Home, or sorry, No Way Home, we get another sequel type movie. One that's 16 years in the making.
Oh yeah. Good Lord. I saw the second trailer on that. It was amazing.
Well, we're getting another Matrix movie, yep. which is a little sad for me. I admit I have reasons. Matrix has a specific place in my heart for specific reasons, but yes. We're having another Matrix movie. I have one child who is like, we had to mark it on the freaking calendar because it's another Matrix movie, and he loves the Matrix. This is like we're doing a whole thing on the 22nd when it's coming out for watching it. We're gonna do because it's being released in theaters and on HBO Max.
Yes, so good.
We're gonna have a huge at home, movie watching thing. Buckets of popcorn, soda, candy. It's gonna be our own personal movie theater here at home. We did the same thing.
Hell yeah, I'm there. I'll do it the same. I'll do it the same day, the 22nd. Yes, please.
And then just this week, we had another trailer released for another movie. Now, I don't know if you saw it, but it's related to something that I know you love. It's a video game movie.
I don't think I saw that one. You know,
which one?
Not a trailer for another movie recently that's based on a video game series. I have no idea.
The new trailer that just came out, for the new Sonic movie, Sonic 2.
Oh, yeah. I completely skipped the first one. It looked terrible aside from what Jim Carrey was doing, and Jim Carrey was just Jim Carrey.
Let me tell you something. I watched the first one. It's a kid's movie. It is definitely catered towards children, as the Sonic games were catered towards kids.
Well, essentially, yes.
There's nothing too dark and ominous in the Sonic games. Jim Carrey is Jim Carrey, but he does a great job of being Jim Carrey. It's like we want you to go be you and do this, and he owns it and does it, and it's fantastic. The movie is funny and warm-hearted, and it's about what you expect from a video game adaptation. It's not awful. It's not some great, wonderful piece of cinema, but it's a fun way to spend, an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, whatever the run length of the movie is. It's a fun way to spend it. You don't come away feeling like, oh my God, this is a piece of garbage. If you go into it thinking, this is a freaking Sonic movie, okay? It's got to be better than Super Mario Brothers. It's got to be. And it is. It's way better than Super Mario Brothers. Nothing against John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins. It's way better than Super Mario Brothers.
Well, Super Mario Brothers is a fucking nightmare. That was a fever dream by the producers. That was a couple of directors who worked on Max Headroom, and they didn't even know what was going on with the series at all, to the point where I think Bob Hoskins didn't even know that it was based on a video game. And so he was pissed when he finally found out that his kids recognized who Super Mario was. Oh, like the video game? He's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Which probably explains why Bob Hoskins was drunk the entire production.
Yes. Him and John Leguizamo, that's why he broke his arm, I think. He broke his arm driving, and they had to use a cast with it and paint it and all that shit. Did you hear about the lost footage for that?
That's a conversation for another podcast. Anyway, the new Sonic movie is coming out, and of course they are introducing in the first one, you had Sonic. You had Dr. Robotnik, mm-hmm. Which he's called Eggman a few times. So that's there's some reference to the lore, which is nice. And he does end up at the end of it. It explains how he ends up at the end with the standard Robotnik mustache. He does not start with it, but he does end the movie with it, and it's freaky things going on.
That's great.
And there's nice little nods in the original movie. The second one, though, it is introducing more characters. Specifically, Tails is in it, which is nice. And Knuckles.
Oh, okay. I kind of figured they'd be bringing those characters in eventually.
And Knuckles is working for Dr. Robotnik.
Yes, he started as a bad guy.
And
he started in the series as a bad guy.
Idris Elba is the voice of Knuckles.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So this is I've been kind of back and forth on my own personal opinion of getting a lot of these major celebrity voices to do characters like this. Like you see the casting on the Super Mario movie is something that kind of it hits weird when you see it. And Idris Elba as Knuckles, you don't think about it making sense, and you'll just have to see when you see the movie. But it's the same deal with like Keegan-Michael Key as Toad or Jack Black as Bowser. Like that actually sounds like it could be really entertaining if it's done right. But there is a lot that could go wrong.
I would say you obviously have not seen the trailer for the new Sonic yet. Watch the trailer because Knuckles talks in the trailer. When you hear him talk, it's like, yeah, okay, that fits. And you're just with this new Super Mario thing. I forgot there was the new Super Mario movie coming out. We're going to have to do a full podcast about the old Super Mario movie and the new Super Mario movie. And just for the hell of it, we need to discuss the old Super Mario TV series, the animated with the live action Lou Albano.
Yep.
Captain Lou Albano doing the Mario Bros. It's the Mario Brothers and Plumbin's our game. We found a secret warp zone. We're working on the drain. We got to do the whole thing. Seriously. Podcast.
Anyway, that's
for a future time. Mike's like, oh my God, he still remembers that? Yes.
I'm shocked.
I know more of it too. That's scary. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of these series. Oh, I forgot. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger. Not a cliffhanger. I forgot. There's one more thing that's coming out. One more item. It's a TV series.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be on Paramount Plus.
Nice.
It is another video game series.
Really?
Of one of the biggest video games of all time. Now, admittedly, Sonic was big. Mario was big. But one of the biggest video games of all time is being turned into a series.
Yes.
Live action series.
Yes. Are you going to say it after the break?
No, I'm going to say it now, and then we're going to go to the break.
Okay.
Halo.
Halo's being... Is it a dramatic series? The Mystery Science Theater hazing that's going to happen just in reference to Red versus Blue while anybody watches that?
We'll see
what happens. Red versus Blue Easter eggs are going to get dropped in that shit all over the place.
What is Red versus Blue again? Anyway, we're going to take a break.
Shut up.
And when we come back, we'll discuss all of these things.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back.
All right.
So, I'm going to make you wait for the big one. So we already talked a little bit about the Spider-Man one, right?
Okay.
We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
I want to go into the controversy. We'll start back the first one I talked about, which was the Wheel of Time series. That is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I am grossly unfamiliar with that.
I'm not going to get into the details of the characters because there are literally, this is one of those series that like, there's a ridiculous amount of named characters in this book series. There's hundreds and hundreds of named characters,
mm-hmm.
people with actual full names in this book series. This is one of the one for people who are fantasy book readers that started off with maybe your first introduction into fantasy. Somebody else read it for you, or The Hobbit, which is The Hobbit's a little more accessible than Lord of the Rings is, insofar as if you think of the Lord of the Rings as a retelling of history, and The Hobbit as some short dude who went on an adventure talking about his adventure and like way overblowing what the hell happened in that adventure. That's how you have to kind of view The Hobbit, because it comes literally from Bilbo's recollection of when he went off with a bunch of dwarves to the Lonely Mountain and all the treasure and shit that they found and some big, huge dragon.
Okay, so wait a minute. So are you saying that The Hobbit is just basically the retelling novelization of There and Back Again? Is that what it is?
In a sense, you can look at it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
You can look at it that way. And then The Lord of the Rings is trying to tell you the history of the War of the Ring after the events of The Hobbit. And then you get to something like The Silmarillion, and The Silmarillion is basically just a history of Middle Earth, period. It like starts at the beginning of the creation of Middle Earth and all the crap that happens up until the first war where Sauron is defeated by Isildur.
Wow.
But it goes like Sauron's the second big bad.
Like, really?
Sauron worked for another big bad who like ravaged everything for like centuries and crap, and then just got beat, and then Sauron was left. And like all kinds of things went down. There was like a spider even bigger than Shelob that was Shelob's mom, Ungoliant, that was just like awful and terrible and destroyed a bunch of crap and then ate herself eventually.
What?
Yeah, just weird crap. So, and each one's like The Hobbit, fairly accessible. Lord of the Rings, somewhat accessible. Silmarillion, you almost need to draw like charts and crap to understand everything going on with that damn book.
Huh.
It's crazy. And this is coming from somebody who's read a lot of fantasy stuff. That thing gets a little tense.
Okay.
And you have different versions of fantasy novels. You have stuff like the stuff that's related to tabletop role-playing games, anything that was related to Dungeons and Dragons. So there was a lot of different sets of books that happened within worlds that were approved by, at that time the company was called TSR, now it's called Wizards of the Coast, that run Dungeons and Dragons.
Huh.
And so there's a bunch of worlds that they created that you could play the game in, the tabletop role-playing game in, and they wrote a bunch of books about a bunch of characters within those games that basically the characters would follow the rules of the game. So they'd have a character class and a specific race and all the different things involved with that. So for people who played those tabletop games like me, we loved reading those books because they were basically the same as our adventures that we went on, better because they had actual real storytellers instead of your friend Rusty, who dealt pot on the side and was the only person that was competent enough to run a game. You know what I mean?
I don't. I've never done that. Still haven't done it.
Too many real details, I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a culture I was never part of.
Sadly, those are all real details from my life. But anyway, there's many different series. There's a Realm series, which have spawned a bunch of video games. There's the Dragonlance series, which spawned a really awful animated movie with Kiefer Sutherland doing one of the voices that was totally wrong, and all the other voices were wrong. It was awful. I was very angry with it. And, you know, there's been multiple of these. In fact, there's a big Forgotten Realms game that came out for streaming on, I think, almost every gaming platform. Maybe it was an Xbox exclusive. It might have been an Xbox exclusive. That had some of the major characters from one of the Forgotten Realms sets of books. A dark elf named Drizzt Do'Urden, who even that name, some people who don't know all this, you know, D&D culture stuff know that name because it's popped up in different things. But anyway, that fantasy, those sets of fantasy novels, the D&D sets of fantasy novels, are very sterilized. And there's violence in them, but they don't really talk heavily about the violence. There's not a lot of description about it. It's somewhat vague. They don't go into detail about, you know, blood spurting and all of these various things. There's implication that maybe rape might happen, but they don't go into the detail of it, you know, that kind of thing. And they know that, okay, you know, you may see a couple that it may talk about a couple that goes off into the bedroom and close the door, but they don't describe every moment of the sexual encounter and whatnot. It's just implied that something's happening because they're sanitized for the reading and enjoyment of preteens and teenagers who might be playing the Dungeons and Dragons game, right?
Right. So
it's slightly salacious, but not so much. That's kind of the they're not written as like YA style novels. They're written as full novels with fully developed stories and fully developed characters, with motivations that are beyond, does this person think I'm attractive or not? Which is basically what happens in almost all YA novels. Go and read them, by the way. Go and read yourself some of the, what is that, the Katniss Everdeen novels, whatever those things are. Most of it is about whether people think she's attractive or not. Anyway, moving on.
Wait, The Hunger Games?
Yeah, those books are
really
stupid. Don't get me started on the Divergent series of books, and really don't get me started on the Twilight books, because, oh my god. I have read them all, but
why?
By the way. Why? Because I needed to be able to fight people on them. Okay? The thing is, if you hate something and you want to fight people about it, you need to at least learn about it so that you can fight them on their own ground. That's why I've read many different books. I can name a few of them that I've read. I can name one book that's got a bunch of little books in it with a bunch of different names as the titles of those little books. I've read that one a bunch of times so I can fight people on it.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I like reading. I just enjoy reading. But that's, like I said, that's kind of the light fantasy novels, the easy, accessible fantasy. And there's a spectrum of fantasy novels going all the way to the other end of the spectrum, Game of Thrones, which is the dirty, hardcore fantasy that just makes you miserable trying to read it because it's about how awful human beings are and basically how awful just people, any kind of people type people. Humans, elves, whatever the thing is, although mainly in Game of Thrones they're all humans. There's some giants in there, but that's about it. Those things are just so much violence, so much rape and pillaging, and in as much detail as humanly possible. Degrading of other people as detailed as possible. And I get it, some people like their realism, but god, the Game of Thrones are awful books. I've read all of them just because I needed to see, and they're awful. They were the hardest things I've ever read in my life because I hated them. Maybe House of the Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne was worse. But anyway, that's a high school English joke.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you have this spectrum of fantasy stuff, and the Wheel of Time series falls on the light end of the spectrum. They don't go into detail. There's a lot of violence because there's a big war that happens, but they don't go into detail about what's in the violence. They you know, if a really bad violent thing happens, it happens kind of off scene and you hear about the aftermath a little bit, but they don't go, again, not into heavy details. Yet something like Game of Thrones, it describes every single bit. Some character gets raped. Oh, you're going to hear every single moment of that, all of it. It's like it's delighting almost in the misery of the characters.
That's okay. Now I know. Okay. Wait. You hit a terminology on the head, and I'm pretty sure that okay. That's I think what I'm going to call Game of Thrones now. From now on, I'm just going to call it misery porn.
It is in a sense misery. And here's the thing. Wheel of Time, much more sanitized version of that. Much more sanitized. And part of that sanitization is actually part of the story arcs of the characters. And the backlash that this is now into, it's multiple episodes in. My wife, the boss, she expected that I would want to watch this because I love this book series. Love this book series.
Mm-hmm.
She expected I'd want to watch this when we saw the trailers for it. And I was like, not sure. Then I started hearing some details. And the backlash is the producers of this series, the writers and the directors, decided they needed to add in the changes that they were making, which, by the way, there's always going to be changes made when you take a literary source and put it onto film or TV series or whatever. There will always be some degree of changes that will be made. That is the life of it. You're never going to be able to make something that is completely faithful to the book. Now, there are some adaptations that have done a fairly good job of that. I believe Lord of the Rings, for the most part, did a good job of that. There's a few moments where they add a little more than they need to, especially anything with Arwen. They add way more with Arwen than they need to, mainly because they were trying to have at least some female characters in there, because the book basically has none.
I mean, they have characters that exist, but they don't have any narrative. So Jackson tried to add some type of character fleshing out, and... Yeah. Add a character dynamic that wasn't there, which I consider entirely justified. Some people were pissed about it when it came out.
It's not a bad change, but it also doesn't. The thing is, it doesn't fundamentally necessarily. There's only one moment was a little bit irked with that, but whatever. And that's the fact that Arwen is the one that rescues that takes Frodo into the elven lands, mm-hmm. away from the ring wraiths.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Arwen in the novel. It's actually, I think it's her brothers who do it. If I remember correctly from the novel.
Okay. So he wrote her in to make her, to allow a portion of the story to centralize around her.
Basically. So Arwen could be in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, okay. But there are some things that are done. The Tom Bombadil scene being removed. It was a pointless scene in the book. It did nothing to forward the plot, and it depowered the ring, so there's no reason to have it in there. And the thing is, it still could have happened, it just wasn't shown in the movie.
Right.
And that's mentioned. They changed something with Faramir's reaction to the ring. Instead of Faramir just saying, like he did in the book, I don't care about the ring, I wouldn't bring it home for nothing because it's evil. That depowers the ring automatically. It makes this thing that's supposed to be so powerful.
Well, that's the thing, is it's supposed to have no power. Yeah, that's the story. That's the character of the ring itself without actually having a dialogue. Is the ring is the exactly. It's the heir of temptation. It will drive all men mad, even at its sight, and that's what it's supposed to do. But then you have one person be like, "Nah, fuck that shit." And it takes it away.
Now Tom Bombadil can do that because he's not a human. He's
right.
Almost godlike. But you can't have Faramir do that. And it's supposed to show that Faramir is better than his brother Boromir. But the thing is, you can't have Faramir do that. And so at least I give Peter Jackson credit. He acknowledges the fact that when Sam and Frodo are taken to Osgiliath, which they never were in the novel, they were just let go. When they're taken to Osgiliath, Sam even says, "By all rights, we shouldn't even be here." And that line was put in there specifically because they should never have gone to Osgiliath. They never went there. And so Peter Jackson at least acknowledged it, but he said it was a necessary change for the film. And I get it. I understand being angry about it. But I get where sometimes you need to make changes to make a story flow better and you need to remove certain things, change up certain things. That's great. When you change up the basis of a character's entire storyline, when you make a character whose marriage, his own first and only marriage later in the series is a huge plot point, who he marries is a plot point, the fact that he's never been married before, and the enormity of it on him, and you start him off in the movie or the TV series being already married to somebody else when he was absolutely not, you're changing a plot point. When you have two characters who had a relationship where they lived in a small town and they thought that one day they would get married, but then they quickly diverge from each other and never end up together in any kind of relationship, you have them have sex, which they never did.
Something tells me we're not talking about Lord of the Rings anymore.
No, we're talking about Wheel of Time and the changes that have been made to Wheel of Time.
Oh,
and the producer, the director, and the writer specifically
said... Did you say something about Wheel of Time? Because it must have... If you did, it must have dropped out because I had no idea where... There was no segue. Okay.
No, there wasn't. The segue was, here's the changes.
Okay.
And that's... When you make changes like that, that completely change what is supposed to be the character's arcs... And the main characters, not even partial characters, but the main characters' arcs.
Yeah,
you're gonna receive backlash. You're gonna have major issues because there's a point to the characters not having done something like that, adding those things in, especially when, again, the director, the producer, and the writer come out to say we added these elements in and you know, aged up the characters a bit because they start at the age of 16, but now they have them in their mid-20s. We've aged up the characters a bit and added these other elements in because we're looking to get the Game of Thrones audience. Now, I get it. The Game of Thrones audience was huge. All of these depraved freaking people, some living in my own home, watching this misery porn over and over and over again with only literally two redeeming people in the entire series. Only two. Samwell Tarly, and I mean, he's Samwell Tarly, Samwise Gamgee. Do you think that there's kind of a connection there? Also a redeeming person in the Lord of the Rings because he's a badass. Samwell Tarly and frickin' Jon Snow, the only redeeming people in the entire series. Everybody else, they're all pieces of garbage and they need to die. Oh, I'm sorry. Their dad. Actually, their dad wasn't even redeeming. And of course, Sean Bean playing him too, so he gets to be a supposedly a nice guy, but a dick still. Actually, he is redeeming because his one lie, he told one major lie. He told it for like 15, 16 years, something like that, but it was a damn good lie. So it's a worthy lie. He's a redeeming guy. Of course, what happens to
a good lie? Like he kept it up for a while or like it was something that. Oh, okay.
He lied about who Jon Snow was.
Oh.
He lied and said that Jon Snow was his kid from some woman that he slept with. And she died and he took him in. So he was his bastard child when in fact he was actually his nephew. He was his sister's kid and his sister had slept with the prince. So technically Jon Snow was the heir to everything and screwed Daenerys. She ain't the heir to shit. Jon Snow's the heir to everything. So he kept that a secret because he knew if anybody knew that Jon Snow was the heir, everybody would basically kill him. And then,
he died.
Who died? Jon Snow?
Jon Snow died.
No, Jon Snow doesn't die.
Jon Snow doesn't die.
No. How much of Game of Thrones did you fucking watch?
I didn't watch fucking any of it because it was murder porn. It was misery porn.
Jon Snow lives till the end.
Like the entire time?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Technically, he dies.
So when I... Yeah, that's what I'm fucking talking about. When everybody and their mom was talking about how Jon Snow died and they're all disappointed...
But he dies once and comes back to life.
That's what I fucking said. He died. Okay, they still kill his ass. Once.
But not. They don't know who he is when they kill him. They just think he's Jon Snow. They don't know he's the prince.
I don't understand why that's a thing.
Because you'd have to watch it, and it's not worth it. I'll explain it later. Anyway, the point being, here. They changed up the Wheel of Time specifically to try to get this audience for Game of Thrones that loved all this nastiness that Game of Thrones existed in. This awful, it is an awful series. It really, really is. I've made myself sit through it Just again, I needed the things to argue with, and oh, there's so much to argue. It's so great, and I love.
Okay, so this isn't like just to kind of throw this out here for context, because I need a little clarity. Okay,
yes.
I know sometimes there are times when certain things are meant to be, they need to be changed, and they record like when Jackson does it and recognizes that change is there. Some of them are necessary. Some people may argue that they may not be, but you have two different types of people that react negatively to it. You have people that react negatively because it's a bad choice, because they're trying to reach an audience that it not that otherwise wouldn't be interested, but that probably shouldn't be seeing the stuff anyway because it just doesn't fit what they're into. And then you have gatekeepers.
Yeah, by gatekeepers, you're referring to the ones that are like, no, it has to be exactly like the book.
Yes, like gatekeepers, or I see a lot of I see a lot of Trek gatekeepers too, and that drives me insane. And I am always into okay, we saw something one way, let's see it another way and see if it's improved. I always take a look at stuff and see whether or not it's something I would prefer, dependent upon, you know. And I take the same context with, you know, with songs that are like certain songs that I like. If I hear it another way, recorded a different way, or a live version, or a cover, or mixed different, like, or something like that.
Somebody, like if somebody were to do a cover of "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" in Black Label Society, right?
Well, not necessarily, because that was more.
Hold on, did you just bring that up so I would plug your cover?
No, 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 no. You're reading too much into this. No, I'm talking about like.
By the way, everybody listening, Mike did a cover of "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," which is an amazing cover of. By the way, being the Grinch fan that I am,
thank you.
He did it in the style of Black Label Society, which basically means he did that weird freaky thing with the guitar that Zach Wilde does. I don't know how to do it. You've explained it to me many times before. You and bandmate Carl, not Carl, both know how to do that fantastically. It freaks me out when you guys do it. I think it's awesome. And then Mike like slightly makes his voice a little sonorous in certain parts, gravelly in other parts. It still sounds like basically Mike doing.
Oh
Mike.
Yeah. It sounds.
But
like
what was nice about that? I just mentioning it. This last week, the local radio station for Sacramento, 98 Rock, the big kind of rock music radio station, reposted his video of that on Facebook. So shout out to you, Mike. Great job for getting the local rock station to be promoting your stuff.
I didn't hit him up about it at all. I posted it on my own page, and somebody that works there saw it, and they're like, this is awesome, and decided to repost it, which is great.
Which is fantastic.
Epic, man.
Of course, you led the conversation this way, so I would mention it. But
no, I did not lead the conversation. I was giving examples.
As you were saying from your examples.
You know, like the Guns N' Roses version of Live and Let Die, which is a lot better than the Paul McCartney version. I will say it.
Way better than the Paul McCartney version.
You know what I mean? Like there's plenty of examples that can be used. Like, but that being said, like there are people that are just like, no, it's not as good as the original. Why? Well, because it's not the original. Well, okay, then go listen to the original and let somebody else enjoy shit. Like, there's those. And then there is gross misinterpretations of something, as it were. And it's not about being faithful to the book. It's about being...
being line faithful.
If it's got a good continuity to it, yeah.
It's about being faithful to the spirit and to the original, the original purpose of it, as opposed to it doesn't have to be line perfect, doesn't have to be exact, but it still has to have the right spirit to it, it has to feel like the same idea that the original, and that's been the backlash on the Wheel of Time. So, if you're a Wheel of Time fan, which I know there aren't that many of you, if you are there. Don't watch the series because you're probably going to get pissed off. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, hey, here's some more misery for you to get involved in. Enjoy. And it's got a much richer backstory. So, I mean, there's more in there for you than what your other stupid book said.
Okay. So another question real quick. Yeah. How fast do you think we can get through the four other things that you mentioned?
Really quickly.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go. The Spider-Man one we already talked about.
Yeah,
and all I'm going to say about the Spider-Man one from this point is, I'll talk with you because I actually intend to watch I intend to watch it probably, probably going to spend the morning of the 22nd watching The Matrix at home on HBO Max. And then the night of either the 22nd or the 23rd, I'm going to go watch Spider-Man. So I'm only going to be a few days after it comes out. I would see it on opening day, but the boss doesn't like going to see movies on opening day because there's too many people. And
yep.
she can only handle so much nerd and geekiness.
Is that
I give her more than she can handle already.
So I'm assuming that that's theater exclusive and there's no...
That one is theater no exclusive. Streaming. Otherwise, I would stay home and watch that one.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'll probably have to wait a month to see it on streaming. Yeah.
No, I will mask up and brave the theater because it is Spider-Man. And I didn't get to see the other two Spider-Mans in the theater. I want to go see this one. It may not happen, but I'm going to try. Cool. As far as that list, the Matrix one, yes, I'm seeing that on the 22nd. Here's the one I can talk a little bit about. Okay, we already talked about the Sonic one too, so we don't need to get into that one.
Okay.
Until you see the trailer, and then we can talk. The Matrix. So multiple trailers have come out. Multiple things have been talked about it. Multiple theories have been brought forward. We do know that my original theory that maybe it took place at a time past in the Matrix is not true and does not hold true. The version of Morpheus that we see in this has been it has been discussed that it is a new version of Morpheus. Morpheus in the lore of the Matrix world, I think in one of the video games, or either in one of the video games, comic book media, maybe an animated media, Morpheus does die. The original Morpheus does die.
Oh, really?
So this is a new Morpheus.
Whoa! I didn't know that.
That's what's been discussed at this point. Now, that may be, here's the funny thing about this, that may be misdirection, because there's a lot of that happens nowadays when it comes to new films.
Is there a mention of any retconning happening with any of the previous Matrix media? Because there's a ton.
And again, within, no mention of retconning, but within that media, or the character of Morpheus that we knew from the original movie did die. His character did die. Now, I don't know how. I just know that he did. Here's the thing, though.
It wasn't in the movie, was it?
No, it was not in the movies.
Because he was still.
He lived through the movies. This happened in other media.
Shit.
Here's the thing, though. There have been trailers where you see current Keanu Reeves supposedly outside the Matrix. It looks like he's in a ship.
Yeah,
he's got the bolts all over him and whatnot. You've seen him and Carrie Ann Moss's character, the Trinity character, in the pods.
Whoa!
So there's been that in the trailers. However, some of the trailers recently focusing on not Neo as much as they've been focusing on Trinity.
Right.
Now, if you want to look back at the original and look at the religious allegory stuff that is connected to the original, you have from a Christian ideology kind of setup, you have the one, Neo is the one, especially the word Neo and one anagram, right?
Yes.
And then you have Trinity and the two of them are together, the one and the Trinity together.
Right.
When you consider the life journey of the Wachowskis.
Yes.
Making another movie after the life journey that they have had. And only one of them made the movie, admittedly. But after the life journey that she had, making this new movie, I am seeing, and I'm throwing out the theory, that in this new movie, Neo is not the one.
Oh.
In fact, it may even be possible that Neo was never the one. That it was always a combination of Neo and Trinity. They are two halves of a single whole.
Oh, interesting.
I'm thinking we're going to see that. If not that, then Trinity is the one in this. And so I think we're going to see something that is profound. It's going to have a message of some type that will anger the original Matrix fans.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see it. Honestly, I can't wait to see what the new portion of telling is, but that's basically all I have to say about that one. Just excited for that.
Yeah, I agree. I really, really, really want to see it, and I want to see where they take it.
And the fact that after all this time going back to that story, and this, the Wachowskis became consummate filmmakers. I love their Speed Racer movie, which was panned by critics, but honestly, it is a perfect The Wachowskis did Speed Racer. It is a perfect live action version of that cartoon. It has all of this, again, going back to the spirit of the original, it has all of the spirit and the feel of the Speed Racer cartoons. People wanted it to be more edgy, more dark. It was not edgy and dark any more so than the original series was. The original series had some edgy and dark, but it was still a freaking animated series for kids to watch.
Yeah.
It retained the humor and the lightness that the animated series didn't take itself seriously at all. It was tongue in cheek and fun the entire time.
Yeah.
It was brilliant and beautiful. It was a perfect live action version of that series without doing those changes and staying true to the original spirit. I love that movie. That's one of my feel good movies. I put that on and I'm just smiling throughout the entire thing. Few moments where I cry. It's an amazing film. Absolutely love every moment of that movie. And yeah, and it's beautiful too. It's an amazingly beautiful movie to watch. Wachowski's nailed the crap out of that movie. And then they did another one called, Cloud Atlas, which, oh my God, it's a movie that messes with your head. It's got a few, it's got a few questionable issues in so far. People in drag, people in white face and black face. There's some questionable issues happening within that, but there's a reason for it. There actually is a reason for it happening that way. And the idea that it's a cast of only a limited number of actors that play different characters over different eras and how some of those stories interact and weave with each other. And it's as if the spirit that each actor represents moves between these characters. So the spirit is inhabiting the body in this time frame, and then it inhabits a different body in another time frame. And it's a really weird movie. Really amazing movie. Amazing work by Tom Hanks. Hugh Grant, probably the best acting in his entire freaking career. Like, literally, the best. Hugo Weaving doing Hugo Weaving, being just right. Amazing. I mean, Halle Berry, don't want to forget about her contribution to the movie. Amazing work. Really weird, really strange movie. Great movie. Hard to wrap your head around. So the Wachowskis have done some amazing things, and the Matrix movies. The first one was amazing. Two were okay, but totally interested to see what this one does. And then finally, after all the other stuff, we have the first, and it was the first like sneak peek trailer has come out of the Halo series.
Yes. Now, I have not seen it.
One thing I'm happy about is the idea that it's a series. Because if you're going to do a Halo movie, what are you going to do? Are you going to do the first video game, the second video game? Are you going to do anything that happens in between the different games? There's so much, and there's so many books and lore in the Halo universe. Which part do you do? By making it a series, you can deal with a whole bunch of things. Are you going to deal with what the Spartans did before they started engaging the Covenant? Because before they were engaging the Covenant, they were actually originally, the Spartan program wasn't put together to fight the Covenant. It was put together before the Covenant attacked the planet Harvest and the humans became aware of the Covenant. The Spartan program was actually put together by the UNSC, the kind of military overlords of the Halo universe. It was put together to fight off a rebel insurgency. A former UNSC officer had turned against the UNSC and had created kind of a rebellion and was being successful at it because you have a bunch of planets that are colonized, and the central planets have, you know, all kinds of good stuff, and the outer colonies not as good as stuff. And so the outer colonies were not wanting the central government to rule them anymore. So you have rebellion. So the Spartan program was actually created to fight off the rebellion because the rebellion was winning. It wasn't until by sheer accident, the Covenant came in contact with a human spaceship, found out about the planet Harvest, got incorrect information about the planet Harvest, tried to invade it and then destroyed it and bunch of stuff happened. Then they started thinking, okay, the rebellion ends up being quashed and the Spartans get transferred to fight these new aliens who were just beating the crap out of the normal humans. That's kind of a rough, rough history of the pre-Halo game stuff.
So do you think the series may possibly be on pre-Halo?
It's very possible that it may be. There may be some discussion about, I know that they're going to, they've in the short trailer that they showed, they are going to focus on the Master Chief, Spartan 17, also known as John, because that's actually his real name, John.
Oh, okay.
They've shown a child that is very likely John. And so they may go back to the original recruiting of the children for the Spartan program, the surgical augmentation that they undergo. Some live through, some don't. And the fact that they were also flash cloned in case they died through the surgical augmentation to try again. Jesus. All kinds of weird stuff. Oh yeah, it's a shady government thing. It's a shady government that creates AIs from mapping brains of living people, and then the mapping of the brain is used as basically the circuit whatever for the AI. There's funky stuff going on with the UNSC. There's some messed up people. You know, shady government thing. What do you expect? Conspiracy theories abound. It does have Dr. Halsey, which is the doctor that was in charge of the Spartan program and who created Cortana. Cortana is actually based on the Cortana AI is based on a map of her brain. So yeah, it's you see Dr. Halsey, you see Spartan 7, you see a kid that could be John as a kid. So it looks like it will be focusing on the Master Chief. Now, what era it deals with the Master Chief in, what it all goes through, at some point you're going to have him on the Halo ring installation, and he's going to have to be fighting the Covenant. That's going to be necessary. The question is, how far, how deep are they going to get into the Covenant backstory? Are they going to find out the giant lie that the Covenant told to get that one group of the Covenant told, one group within the Covenant told the rest of the Covenant to get them to actually attack the humans? There's a lot of lore. It is a very, very deep lore situation, which is one of the reasons I love Halo as a game. It has so much more than games do. You need to have multi generations of platforms to get the level of game lore that Halo and Halo 2 created. Not even to consider what was added on later. We're talking just what Halo and Halo 2 were able to create for lore. You need something like, you need to have released a game on the Nintendo, and then a game on the Nintendo, and then a game on the Super Nintendo, and then a game, basically a game or more on every single iteration of Nintendo to get the level of lore and backstory that Halo and Halo 2 ended up creating for gaming. I'm of course referring to comparing it to the backstory and the lore for the Legend of Zelda series, that I know you're intimately familiar with.
I was gonna say, yeah, that sounds interesting.
I could talk to you for hours about the Forerunners and what the Forerunner technology did, what the Halo rings were originally created, which you do find out in the first game. But why the Covenant went after the, what the mistake was, how the different versions of the Covenant, because each alien that you fight in the Halo games is a different alien race from a different planet that were brought into the Covenant. The Covenant is actually an agreement between them based on a religious ideology worshiping the Forerunners and the Forerunner technology.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, there's,
you know,
so
on the day
much-
that on the day that you go down that rabbit hole, down that detail, and you explain that to me, I'll explain you the Metal Gear timeline.
Now see, that's another game. It's got some hardcore history, and as a result of it, that the fans of that game are hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Be that game series, because the history and the story and the lore involved with it, that's what makes really, really good games. And it can make for one hell of a Halo series. Now it just depends on how they deal with all those things, how they treat it, how much Svengeli we get. We need some Svengeli. Those are the elites, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
Their real name was Svengeli.
Anyway.
They were the ones lied to. Yes, I know that this will be the series will be rife with red versus blue commentary. I'm just hoping that there's a snack machine somewhere that's got a red and blue rooster with teeth drawn. If they do at least that, the red versus blue guys will be nothing but happy.
Dude, you know that they're going to have them cameo in the series somewhere.
Oh, I guarantee that they're going to have voices in it. They'll probably bring Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk back to do voices, because Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk did voices in Halo 3, I believe.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, they did voices in that.
So this is an animated series?
No, this is a live action.
Oh, shit. Series. Okay. Oh, that's dope. All right.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, Fillion and Alan Tudyk, again, that will be hilarious.
Yes.
There is a Sergeant Johnson, by the way. The Sergeant Johnson is one of the Marines that you deal a lot with in the series, and in the lore, he's got a lot of stuff that goes on with him. Specifically, Sergeant Johnson is to the Flood, which is like, you think that this is one of the things that Halo pulls a switcheroo. I don't know how much Halo played. Probably not a lot, because you're
squad. I don't think I've played Halo for longer than 5 minutes. And it's funny because I own a couple of the games, but I've never even popped them into an Xbox to play them.
Halo does a real cool, a nice bait and switch on you, because you think that your enemy is the Covenant when you start the Halo game, because you're fighting off all these Coveys. You got your grunts, you got your jackals, you got your elites, you got some big gigantic tank freaking things that come in a pair and shoot a freaking plasma cannon at you, and they got a giant shield, so you have to run around behind them. And when you read the books, you find out it's actually not even a single organism; it's like a colony of worms that create a body that attacks you. And they come in pairs, and so they're called hunters, and they're a pain in the ass. and they really are. They're freaking difficult to deal with, because the only soft spot on them is directly in their back. So you have to go around behind them and shoot them in their back, because you can't hit them otherwise.
Right.
So you think that's the bad guy. And then you get through the Halo ring, the installation, you get into stuff, and it turns out that's not the bad guy. Some weird infection thing that attacks every living thing possible, infects it, and turns it into a raving zombie type monster. That's the bad guy. So you have humans that have been infected by these things that look all giant and bulbous, and they pop, and the little tiny spider looking ones come after you. And then you've got all of the aliens that you fought, all these Covenant aliens, with the exception of the hunters, luckily, that get infected by this thing that come after you. And of course, at the end of Halo 2, you find out that this thing is a colony of some type that has a hive mind that's literally called Grave Mind, but it's a hive mind that connects to all of these little infection things, and it's trying to take over all of existence. And the Halo rings themselves were created. There's multiple of them. There's multiple Halo rings. They were created to wipe out all sentient life, because that's the only way to stop this infection thing once it starts going. You have to wipe out all sentient life in the universe. Yeah.
I'm so lost.
Deep.
I'm lost. You tried to give me 20 years worth of gaming lore in 15 minutes.
Dude, that's only two games worth of lore. That's only Halo 1 and Halo 2. That's only those two. There's more.
Of course. James?
There's so much more.
James. We need to revisit this. Like I said, that's our deal. Our deal is we trade Halo for Metal Gear. I'll give you the Metal Gear stuff. They'll be their own episodes entirely, because you totally could do that. And I'm going to forget most of this information.
I know. But anyway, the point is there's a lot for a series, and it'll just be nice to see the Master Chief in live action. There's been multiple attempts to make the movies before. Now we're going to see a series, which is the way it should be handled. A movie would not do it justice. Anyway, this is the technology. We're excited to have these new movies, these streaming. Hopefully we won't run into a technology problem again or trying to view any of these things. So people, if you want the Wheel of Time, Game of Thrones version of it, I guess. Get yourself an Amazon subscription, your Amazon Prime subscription up and watch it. If you're wanting to see Spider-Man, go to the theater. Same with the with Sonic. Just wear your masks, please. Get yourself some HBO Max so that you can watch The Matrix comes out because we need it. Get yourself some Paramount Plus so that you can watch Halo. All those companies I just listed, if we're advertising for you guys for free, but it would be better if we didn't do it for free. Just saying. Just saying. Gosh.
Are you trying to?
Yes.
You're
yes,
trying to hit I'm up trying... HBO Max for a sponsorship.
Here's the deal. As you well know from your days with the various bands and the various things that you've done, recording music for people or producing albums, things like that, you do have to whore yourself out a bit. It just depends on how much you do it. It's like when I go to the pizza place in your hometown every Saturday night, like I did last night, and see my pizza guy that listens to the podcast. I'm constantly telling him about everything that's going on the podcast, and he's constantly telling other people about it and sharing and talking about how we have an epic podcast. Really, this is just one pizza guy saying, but I felt really good. And as I leave, the boss goes, "So, whoring yourself out for your podcasting?" And I said, "Yes, I am. You're going to tell Mike?" "Yes, and he'll be proud of me."
And I am. I am, sir.
Exactly. Also, not just those companies that we mentioned about the money. Spam, we love you. Anyway, Mike, on that note, where can people be listening to us?
Well, you can be listening to us. Sorry. Normally, there's nothing past that. What was that?
I know. I was going to try to add the whole technology thing, but you know, it just didn't fly. Anyway. Oh,
the funniest part about this is you have been dropping out and then coming back in super fast, like over and over and over again. The entire 20 minutes worth that you were talking about Halo as well. So unfortunately, I'm leaving that in. I can't edit all that.
That's all right. Leave it in. Technology does these things. So, Mike, I'll do it the normal way. Where can people be listening to us?
Well, you could be listening to us on our website, thezeniochronicles.com or zencron.com if you don't want to type that much. You could also find us in most places that you find your podcast. Just search for The Zenial Chronicles there in the search, and you should be able to find it. And there is also another place, if you are listening to us on a regular podcast, we do also have a YouTube page, and we beg you to head over to YouTube and search for The Zenial Chronicles and subscribe to our channel. But also, if you're listening to this on a podcast, we also have these out on video form as well, so you can listen to us on video form on our YouTube page. Like I said also earlier, subscribe to the channel if you can. That would be great. It would help us. And there is one more thing that you could do for us as well. James, you know what that is. What is that?
Click the bell.
That's right. Go ahead and click the bell to make sure you get notified the next video. And that's a YouTube thing. We don't have bells on our page, on our podcast. There's no bells in the podcast apps. It's just on YouTube. So make sure you click that bell on YouTube so that next time we have a podcast, it tells you. YouTube will tell you that we have a podcast up and good to go. And when we don't, sometimes depending on certain things that may or may not be happening at the time and we have the time to do it, we'll put up a video instead and let you know that we don't have a podcast in some strange, crazy, or not so strange, not so crazy form. You'll keep up to date with us past just when the podcast comes out. That's the point.
Okay, so after all of that, just so we're clear, I'm not the only one who just extraneously says at different points during the recordings.
Oh no, I'm very capable.
While you're checking all that out, please make sure to check out Mike's other pages that he works with, his page that he does with his wife, Chronozode Games. This is Mike and his wife playing video games in chronological order of the story of the games, the games, as it were.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do that. We've talked about doing the Halo ones before. Doing games in the story of the game, or in the chronological order of the story of the game.
Yes, the timeline order.
This is Mike doing poorly at games. That might be fun to actually do some Halo with Mike, and I might actually be better at something than Mike for once.
Can you co-op the story mode?
Yes. Yes. Oh, very much.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. That I would totally be down for that. I have an OG Xbox. I also have a 360. I don't know how the Halo games play on the 360. I think they actually transfer over to the Xbox One, don't they?
Or we could play my Master Chief Collection on to do it with the upgraded 343 graphics or with the original Bungie graphics.
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question. Yeah.
And you can switch between them whenever you want to. You just push one.
Okay, that's funny.
Amazing. Also, while you're there, don't just check out the Chronosode Games. Mike has another YouTube page. In fact, this is the one where the You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch originally appeared. Yeah. And he will be releasing another new Christmas song. Not going to tell you what it is. You have to wait. Actually, what you have to do is follow his page.
Yes.
Subscribe. Click the bell on that. Do all the different things that you need to do. He will be releasing a new Christmas song cover coming up shortly. It's not as good only because the band style he's trying to do it in, and I've heard it because I'm me, I get to hear these things, and I can hear that he's trying to do it in that band style. It makes sense with the song. I get the connection to the crappy song that everybody loves to play from that band because the riff is super easy because the band was crappy at writing any music. I get the connection, and hey Mike, I'll say this, it's a really good song that you have done. I wish you weren't doing it in that style because that makes it crappy, the fact that I have to think it's in that style. If I didn't think that, I would like it a lot more, but sadly you told me that was the style it was in, and that's all my brain can think of now, so you ruined it for me. Anyway,
that was intentional. Check all
those out. You intentionally ruined it?
No, I intentionally wrote it in that style.
Well, but that ruined it for me. No, you telling
me. So check out this thing that James hates when I put it out.
Please do. Please do. Actually, it's a really smart thing to check out things that James hates. That's why so many people love avocados, because I hate it. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.